Hey everybody, welcome back for another deep dive. Today we're going to be looking at a lecture by Dr. John Oswalt,
Okay.
and he was talking about the book of Hosea,
Right.
specifically chapter 10, which is all about the last years of the kingdom of Israel.
Yeah.
So this is a time of turmoil and bad decisions. Does that sound familiar?
It certainly does.
Yeah, we'll see if history might be rhyming with some of our modern day dramas as we go through this.
Yeah, Dr. Oswalt sort of sets the stage by painting this picture of peace and prosperity. You know,
Right.
we're talking Solomon's reign, but for both Israel and Judah.
Wow.
It's a golden age under Jeroboam II that lasted an impressive 46 years.
That's a long time.
Yeah, it really makes you wonder what went wrong.
Yeah, right? It's like the calm before the storm, and then bam.
Exactly.
Boswalt throws us headfirst into political chaos,
Yeah.
assassinations, power grabs, pro-Assyrian versus pro-Egyptian factions.
That's right.
It's giving Game of Thrones, but with sandals and chariots.
That's a good way to put it. It's like, just imagine Menahem, this army officer, he just seizes power through sheer brutality.
Oh,
You
wow.
know, it really highlights that uncomfortable truth that sometimes the hunger for power,
Yeah.
it leads to some pretty dark places.
Yeah.
No matter what era you're in, I mean,
Yeah. Are we immune to that today?
I don't think so.
No, probably not. And with all these kings getting bumped off, it's no wonder that there's this feeling of every man for himself.
Yeah.
But here's where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
Dr. Oswalt dives into Hosea 10.12, where the Israelites are building more and more altars, even as they get richer. And he's saying that it's like they're trying to buy God off, like make him part of their success strategy.
It is like they're saying, hey, God, here's a fancy altar. Now keep those blessings coming.
Yeah.
It's almost ironic.
Yeah.
The more they prosper, the more they feel the need to control it, even their relationship with God. And, you know, Dr. Oswald asked this question that kind of makes you squirm a little bit in your seat.
Oh, really?
He says, how much of God's money does he let me use?
Wow. Yeah. Have you ever thought about it like that?
Yeah, it's a good question.
It really is. It's easy to get caught up in that mind mentality, isn't
Yeah,
it? But
absolutely.
that sets us up for a hard fall.
It really does.
And speaking of hard falls, the Israelites were pretty hard on their leaders, too.
Oh, yeah.
Hosea 10.34 is all about their cynicism and disrespect.
They've just totally lost faith in both the divine and the human.
Right.
You know, and it's like, as Dr. Oswald pointed out, cynicism, like, that could be so toxic.
Right.
You know, it's one thing to hold leaders accountable, but it's another to just tear everything down and then put yourself in charge, thinking that you know better.
Right. So they're clinging to idols for a sense of control, but they don't trust their leaders.
Yeah.
Sounds like a recipe for disaster.
It is.
And guess what? It gets worse.
It does. Hosea 10.5 to 8 describes the Assyrians capturing their precious calf idol.
Oh, no.
Can you imagine the shame? The very foundation of their security just crumbles.
Oh.
Wow. Yeah. Dr. Oswald uses this analogy of a church that's built on what he calls the Akron plan.
Okay.
And the building itself became more important than the faith it housed.
Right.
He even called it the calf idol of Beit Aven.
Ouch.
Yeah. And it just makes you think, what are our modern day calf idols, you know?
Right. What are the, is it the perfect career, the big house,
Maybe.
social media
It
likes?
could be.
What are those symbols that we've substituted
Yeah.
for genuine connection and meaning?
It's a good question.
Yeah, and that brings us to a passage that is just chilling, Hosea 10.8, where the people are literally begging the mountains to fall on them.
Right.
It's a picture of utter despair.
Yeah.
Like they're saying, if I can't have control, then just make it all go away.
Yeah, just wipe it all out.
But Dr. Oswalt points out this kind of avoidance doesn't solve anything.
No.
It's running from responsibility instead of facing it head on.
Right. And what's fascinating is that he connects this verse to similar cries in the New Testament,
Really?
like during Jesus's crucifixion. And in the
Wow.
book of Revelation, it's like this human instinct to want to escape judgment, to hide from the consequences of our choices. It's a timeless struggle.
It is. So what's the alternative? How do we break free from this cycle of messing up and then trying to run away from the fallout? Stay tuned for part two of our deep dive, where we'll explore the possibility of redemption and how to face our mistakes head on.
So, you know, picking up on that idea of running from responsibility,
Right.
Dr. Oswalt really dives into the consequences of that. I got this mentality. In Hosea 10,003, the Israelites were so focused on their own strength,
Right.
their own plans, that they just totally rejected God's guide.
It's that classic my way or the highway approach.
Yeah.
They achieved some success.
Right.
And they figured they had it all figured out.
Right.
But as we've seen, that kind of pride
yeah.
often comes before a fall.
It does. And Dr. Oswalt reminds us that ignoring God's mishpat.
Okay.
You know, his order, his design for how things work.
Right.
It has consequences.
Mm-mm.
It's like trying to build a house without a foundation.
Right.
Or drive a car without knowing the rules of the road.
Yeah.
You're setting yourself up for disaster.
So the Israelites made a mess of things.
They did.
But is there any way back from that? I mean, are we doomed to repeat their mistakes?
Yeah.
Is there any hope for breaking free from this cycle of sin and judgment?
That's the question that hangs heavy over this entire book.
Yeah.
And it's one that we'll continue to explore as we go through this.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's important to remember that judgment is never God's final word.
Okay.
You know, he's not sitting up there with a gavel just waiting to slam it down.
So you're saying there's more to the story.
There is.
There's room for grace.
There is. Even in the middle of all this talk about destruction and consequences, there's a glimmer of something else.
Okay, so we can't understand Hosea's message without recognizing that incredible love and mercy
yeah.
that permeates it.
Yeah, it's like a parent disciplining a child, you know?
Right.
The goal isn't to punish for its own fake, but it's to help them grow, to guide them back to what's good and true.
That makes sense. I'm reminded of a line from Hosea 11.4 where God says, I led them with cords of human kindness,
yeah,
with ties of love.
Beautiful.
It doesn't sound like a vengeful God who's out to get them, does it?
Not at all.
No.
There's this deep longing in God's heart to restore his people, to heal their brokenness, to bring them back into that close relationship that they're meant to have.
Yeah.
But that restoration, it hinges on their willingness to change.
Right.
To turn away from those things that have led them astray.
So it's not just about avoiding punishment,
no.
but about choosing a different path,
yeah.
one that leads to wholeness and true life.
It's about aligning ourselves with God's mishpat.
Okay.
Not out of fear, but because we understand it's the best way to live.
Right.
It leads to flourishing and true freedom.
Right.
Think of it like a musical instrument.
Okay.
When it's in tune, when it's played according to its design, it creates beautiful music. But when it's out of tune, it's just noise.
Okay, that's a great analogy.
Yeah.
It makes me think about Dr. Oswalt's challenge to search our own lives for those modern-day idols.
Right.
What are those things we're clinging to?
Right.
Those beliefs or behaviors that might be blocking us from experiencing the fullness of God's heist, that undeserved, overflowing love?
It's a question we all need to wrestle with. What are we chasing after that's ultimately empty?
Right.
Is it status, possessions, maybe even the need to be right all the time?
Yeah.
Those things can become idols, substitutes for the real thing.
And speaking of substitutes,
yeah.
Dr. Oswalt makes this interesting point about the calf idol.
Okay.
He says it wasn't just about worshiping a false god,
right.
but about trying to control the uncontrollable.
Yeah, they figured if they kept the idol happy, everything else would fall into place.
It's like that magical thinking we sometimes fall into.
Yes.
You know, we see it with lucky charms and superstitions, even some self-help schemes.
You could be.
It's this idea that if we do the right things, say the right words, we can manipulate the universe
yeah.
to get what we want.
You got it. We want to believe we're in the driver's seat.
We do.
Don't we? But ultimately, that's an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
Real control, real freedom. It comes from surrendering to something bigger than ourselves.
Yeah.
Trusting that there's a plan, even when we can't see the whole picture.
And that's where faith comes in.
Exactly.
It's not about blind obedience.
Right.
But about choosing to trust that God's got this.
Mm.
That even when things are messy, even when we make terrible mistakes,
yeah.
his love is bigger than our failures.
Absolutely. It's choosing to believe that his design, his mishpat, is ultimately for our good.
It's a humbling thought, but also kind of freeing.
It
you
is
know, sad. We don't have to have it all figured out.
Right.
We don't have to white knuckle our way through life trying to control every outcome.
Exactly. It's about letting go of that need for control and embracing the mystery of God's love.
Right.
A love that doesn't depend on our performance or our ability to get it right all the time.
But let's be real. Dr. Oswalt doesn't shy away from the consequences of rejecting that love either.
No, he doesn't.
He reminds us that our choices matter, that they can have ripple effects that reach far beyond ourselves.
That's right.
Even impacting generations to come.
Yeah, that's a sobering thought for sure.
It is.
But it also highlights the significance of our decisions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the power we have to shape the world around us.
Right.
We're not just living for ourselves. we're part of a much larger story.
So it's not just about our personal salvation, no. but about being part of God's mission to bring healing and restoration to the world.
Absolutely. It's about being agents of God's heased, that overflowing, extravagant love in every area of life.
Wow, this conversation is giving me a lot to chew on. We've explored the dark side of human nature, the consequences of rebellion, but also the incredible potential for redemption and a love that never gives up.
It's a lot to process, isn't it?
It is.
But ultimately, Hosea's message is a message of hope.
Okay.
It's a reminder that even when we're at our worst, even when we've wandered far from the path, there's a way back. There's a love that's waiting to welcome us home.
And that brings us to the final part of our deep dive, where we'll explore the imagery of God's passionate love for his people, the possibility of their return from exile, and the ultimate hope of reconciliation. Stay tuned. Well, we've been through a lot in this deep dive. We've seen the Israelites at their worst, making terrible choices, facing the consequences. But now it feels like we're turning a corner.
It's like those clouds are parting and there's a ray of sunshine breaking through. You know, as we move into these final chapters of Hosea, the tone definitely shifts.
Okay.
We start to see these glimpses of hope and healing and a love that simply refuses to let go.
It's almost like watching a couple fight and then make up, you know.
Right.
But on this cosmic scale.
Yeah.
It makes you think about second chances.
Mm-hmm.
And whether we really grasp the kind of love that can forgive even the most heartbreaking betrayals.
It's the beauty of Hosea, isn't it?
Yeah.
It reveals this love that's not based on performance.
Mm.
It's not about earning God's favor or checking off some list of good deeds.
Right.
It's a love that pursues us even when we're running in the opposite direction.
It's like that line from Hosea 11.8 that we talked about earlier. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel?
Wow.
You can almost hear the heartbreak in God's voice.
Right.
It's raw and vulnerable, not what you'd expect from an all-powerful being.
It's such a powerful image, isn't it?
It is.
Not a cold, distant judge.
Right.
But a loving parent wrestling with the pain of seeing their child make terrible choices.
Yeah. It makes me wonder, do we underestimate the depths of God's emotions?
Mm.
His capacity to feel things so deeply?
That's a good question. You know, we tend to want to put God in a box.
We do.
But what we're seeing here is a God who is fully engaged.
Right.
Fully invested in the lives of his people.
But even with that love, the Israelites still messed up pretty badly.
Yeah.
Is there any coming back from that?
That's the big question.
It is.
And thankfully, the answer is a resounding yes.
Okay, good.
But it's not a quick fix. You know,
right.
It requires this radical shift, a complete turning away from those things that have led them astray.
So more than just saying sorry and hoping for the best.
Way more. It's about a change of heart.
Okay.
A realignment of our desires with what God wants for us.
So it's about understanding that God's mishpat, his design, his order for the world, it's not a set of arbitrary rules.
Right.
But a blueprint for living a good life.
Yeah, it's like choosing to eat healthy food.
Okay.
Because we understand that nourishing our bodies leads to greater well-being.
So it's not about punishment and reward.
No.
But about recognizing that following God's ways actually leads to life, to flourishing.
You got it. It's choosing the path that's best for us.
Right.
Even if it's not always the easiest one.
And there's this beautiful passage in Hosea 14.4 that captures the essence of that restoration.
There is, I will heal their backsliding, I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them.
Wow.
It's a picture of complete forgiveness.
Right.
A wiping the slate clean. Starting fresh.
It's like that moment when you realize you've been holding your breath and you can finally exhale.
Right.
Like a wave of relief washes over you.
Yeah.
It makes me think about those times in my own life when I've messed up and experienced that kind of grace, that undeserved forgiveness. It's incredibly humbling.
It really is. And it's available to each of us.
Yeah.
No matter how far we've strayed.
But here's the thing. Even with that forgiveness, the consequences of our choices often remain.
That's true.
So it's not like a magic wand that erases all the pain and brokenness that we've caused.
No.
There's still accountability.
Absolutely. Think of it like this. Imagine you break someone's trust.
Okay.
Even if they forgive you the relationship, it might take time to heal. The scars might remain.
Right.
But forgiveness opens the door for a new beginning.
Mm-hmm.
For rebuilding what was lost.
That's a helpful way to think about it. It's not about pretending the past didn't happen,
right.
but about moving forward with a renewed sense of hope and purpose.
Yeah.
And that leads us to the heart of Hosea's message.
It's this message of relentless love, a love that pursues us even to the ends of the earth. It's a message of second chances of healing and of the possibility of a future filled with hope, even when we've made a mess of things.
So where does this leave us? What are some key takeaways that our listeners can walk away with today?
Well, I hope they leave with a deeper understanding of God's character, of his passionate love for his people. I hope they're challenged to examine their own lives for those things that might be blocking them from experiencing the fullness of that love.
And I hope they're encouraged to embrace that path of repentance, to turn back towards God, knowing that he's waiting with open arms.
It's a journey worth taking, a journey that leads to life, to wholeness, and to a love that never gives up. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
See you next time.
Elni AM.